Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer is in the building, y'all. What's good, man? We got a lot to cover today. OTAs getting started. Need to talk about what to watch for. This is where we start to have that on the bubble conversation as well. There's going to be some guys that need to show out and show up. So we got to talk about some of the Bears that may end up being on the bubble. And Caleb Williams is learning from Tom Brady and Jay-Z. All that and more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears Podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. We also want to let you guys know today's episode is brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas-style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6, right off of I-80-94. What's going on, people? I appreciate you guys for tuning in, man. They've been a fun weekend in sports. Had some great NBA playoff games, and now you start to see some of those practices roll in where we get to absolutely overreact to everything that we see. That's how this goes, right? That's how every year around this time you see Caleb Williams sling one in there, or right, Rome Odunze goes up and makes a tough catch. All of this done in like a t-shirt and some Under Armour shorts, yeah, I mean, and all of a sudden we're sitting here losing our minds. But that's the fun of this part of the year. Do not miss out on the fun part of actually going through the process of seeing these young players coming together. And that's one of my big things that we need to watch for in OTAs, right? Number one for me is Caleb Williams' chemistry, not just with these young guys who he spent rookie minicamp with, but also, how's he going to assimilate in with the veterans already? How is that relationship going to start off when we're actually seeing these guys kind of get some serious work in together? Maybe not something where you're sitting there, you know, this is not padded practices and stuff like that, but this is the first time where you're going to see it be a little bit more organized practice-wise instead of just Caleb Williams putting together throwing sessions and different things like that. I love the fact, again, we talked about all last week. Preparation, preparation, preparation. Like the video, if you love how Caleb Williams has prepared himself to be in these moments to the point where we heard Kerry Joseph last week talking about we had to find new stuff to teach him. He came in ready to go. We had to find things that were going to be new to him that we can add to his game because he came in that ready to go. How is that preparedness going to stick out with the veterans that are already in the building? And is there going to be a chemistry already built up? I'm really excited to see what Caleb Williams comes in the door with at OTAs. We've been pleasantly surprised at every step of the equation to this point. And I think that that's one of the things when you talk about changing over a quarterback, right? Whether you are Justin Fields guy, Caleb Williams guy, no matter what. When you talk about changing over a quarterback, the new quarterback coming in and being ready to go, being on the right foot, how he's going to fit in with these veteran guys, right? Having already worked with them, he's going to have an understanding of, okay, DJ Moore comes out of the break like this. I need to make sure I got the football out of my hands at this point. Keenan Allen comes out of the break this way. I need to make sure that I have the ball ready to go to him at this point. Tyler Scott underneath, a young guy that struggled last season. How does he help with the development of some of the young guys on this team because of him already being prepared, already being ready to go, already having that knowledge? That's the part that does excite me about this time in OTAs, is just starting to see things come together. And to me, when you look at a guy like Caleb Williams, and like I said, how prepared he has been to this point, I mean, is this going to be a DJ Moore, Justin Fields situation like last year? The one thing that we knew coming into this season was that that relationship was built. That's the one thing that we knew. These guys, there's some struggles here. This isn't going to be this, but those two have figured it out. Who has Caleb figured it out with? Is that Rome Odunze? Is that going to be Keenan Allen? Is that going to be DJ Moore? Yeah, I mean, like there's a litany. Is it Velus Jones? You got to still throw his name out there, even though I'd be a little bit more surprised if it were him. But the fact that you've got this slew of weaponry already at your disposal, that excites me heading into OTAs. And the fact that Caleb Williams has already kind of started to learn these guys and now gets to get more of an in-depth workout with them, I think that those are things that are really going to benefit the Bears in the long run. Let me know how you guys feel about where Caleb Williams is at right now. Do you think that there's going to be any kind of already preparedness with how these things are going to play out with the veterans that are in the building, with how he's going to be with the vets in the building. How important do you think that chemistry is already being built right now? Another thing that's really got my eye, and I mean, this is probably the most important thing for me. I'm not going to lie to you. I know we've talked about Caleb Williams ad nauseum. I know we've talked about Roma Dunza. I know we've talked about this Bears defensive line not having another guy. But there's one thing that I am keeping my eye on because I think it is the biggest key to success for a young quarterback starting off. And that's the center competition. To me, this is the most important position on the field for your quarterback. We could talk about wide receivers. We could talk about tight ends. We could talk about running backs till we're blue in the face. But I got to tell you guys, a big part of what we saw struggling last year was because our quarterback had to try and figure out, okay, how do I Javi Baez snatch this out of the air and then go through my progressions, go through my reads and get everything to where it needs to go. And we didn't see it enough. I don't want Caleb Williams to have to deal with that to start his career off. There's so many fingers that can be pointed around this Bears offense last season. But to me, one of the biggest fingers needs to be pointed at the struggles that we saw at the center position. You hope that you've addressed that. You've brought in two different centers. Of course, Coleman Shelton is in there, but Ryan Bates seems to be the guy who is slated to be the starting center at this point. We heard Courtney Cronin tell us that on the podcast a couple weeks ago. And listen, I got questions. I'm not saying he can't beat a guy. I'm not saying that he can't figure out how to play center. But when you've got 150 snaps, and me and Lance, I believe, talked about this last week as well. When you've got 150 snaps at center in the NFL, Lance said, well, let's go back to his college days. Maybe there's something in his college days that make you feel better about him as a center. No time at center in college, right? And my concern is not that Ryan Bates can't eventually get to being a good center, but my concern is that you've got a young quarterback hitting the field right away who basically has a center who, yeah, he's done this at an NFL level, but he hasn't done it consistently. He hasn't done it week in and week out. This is not his position. Is he going to be the one to win that battle? Is he going to be the one to come away with that starting spot? Or do we maybe see someone who is a veteran center in Coleman Shelton, who, although, listen, I mean, there's a reason that the Rams were willing to move on from him, right? Younger guy standing behind him. Coleman Shelton, not bad, but he's not sitting here overwhelmingly great. You're not sitting here talking about this guy as a top 10 center in the NFL coming into next season, right? And so there's a reason that even now Ryan Bates seems to be the front runner in this position. Can Coleman Shelton take over that front runner spot? And hopefully not because of, right, just you're the best of a bad situation. All right, we've been through that. How often have we seen that where we got to put him in there? Why? There's nobody better. And he's not good, but there's nobody better. I don't want this to be a best of a bad situation. Center was the one position that I really wanted to see the Chicago Bears attack this offseason. They didn't. They kind of did, right? But I don't think that they did it with any of the positions that I feel very comfortable with, right? Again, I talked about Coleman Shelton. There's a reason the Rams are willing to move on with him. Ryan Bates, lack of snaps at the center position. We've done the guard to center thing before. Right. And I love when we had Yurko on, right? He talked about it's easier to get a center and turn him into a guard than it is to get a guard and turn him into a center. And yet we keep doing this experiment of trying to turn guards into centers. Now, I understand Ryan Poles loves this guy. He found this guy a couple of years ago, wanted to sign him, thought he was going to be a center for the Bears then, doesn't get him, ends up going out and getting Lucas Patrick. Now you're able to get him by a trade and talk about Ryan Bates here. And you hope that he's going to be the answer for you at that position, because if he is the answer, you've got some long-term success there, right? You've got some long-term ability there because 27 years old, I believe, for Ryan Bates at this point. A lot of time left in the NFL. If he's good at that starting center position, right? Now you're able to kind of work him in there with Caleb. He gets time in with Caleb. He gets to grow with Caleb. All of those things are important, but and there is a part of this that's on Caleb to make his life easier as well, right? But I'm just that competition is going to be the one that I'm probably most focused on throughout all of OTAs, because I watched how hard things are when your center snaps the football left. I've watched how hard things are when your center rolls the football back to you when you're in shotgun. You know what I mean? Or when he fumbles the snap, trying to do a very interesting Cole Kmet play, right? Like there are so many things to me that the Bears, you end up taking a step back on if you don't have that center position. I think a lot of our predictions, a lot of our faith, a lot of our excitement in this season is because we feel like there's been some kind of addressing of the O-line, but you still got to see it on the field. Super Bowls aren't won on paper. Games aren't won on paper. I got to see it on the field. I'm going to be watching Ryan Bates probably as close as possible. Be up at OTAs on Thursday for the media availability as well. So I think that that's going to be the one that I'm going to keep my eye on the most. Let me know how you guys feel in the comments below, man. I'll be down there talking with you as well. What are you watching closest at OTAs? Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. My final one, the thing that I'm probably watching the most here outside of the center position, and this is just for pure entertainment purposes, we've got some wide receiver DB battles, boys. Oh, we got some fights coming up here. I can't wait to see DJ Moore, Jalen Johnson going at it. I can't wait to see Tyreek Stevenson, Keenan Allen going at it, right? I can't wait to see how these wide receiver DB battles, the one-on-ones, are going to play out. And it's not because I think that it's going to be you get a complete answer and a one-on-one that you wouldn't have got last season, or yeah, like a one-on-one drill. It's not because of that. But what we saw from the one-on-ones was an energy from the defense that I believe this season will be matched. And that's why I want to see this so much at OTAs, because I think this is where the camaraderie comes in. This is where you build the brotherhood, build the relationships of some of the new guys that are a part of all of this, right? Last year, you saw Tyler Scott kind of win a route. I mean, he dominated the route. Nasty footwork off the line, got off of it. Boom, he's going straight down the field. Ends up getting a catch. I believe it was over Tyreek Stevenson. I don't believe it was Jalen Johnson on that. Nothing said. Quiet. Walks over to the sideline. Helmet down. Boom, here we go. Or walks back into the line. Doesn't take his helmet off. Walks back to the line. But when the DBs won their battle, oh, it was hooping and hollering. Oh, y'all ain't got that. What's good? Nah, y'all not fooling with us on that. Nah, we're not playing them games, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, this season, I expect all of that energy from the defense to finally be matched by the offense, because, one, I think Caleb Williams brings that kind of energy of like, oh, you want to talk trash? Bet. Let's talk trash. If you want to have a conversation, let's have a conversation. I'm not shying away from nothing. I understand what the talent is. I understand what we can go out here and do. So we're going to go back and forth. I think you also have Keenan Allen in the room this year. That changed that. I'm not expecting DJ Moore to talk crazy, right? DJ Moore is not the talk crazy guy. But when you add a Keenan Allen into the mix, Keenan Allen going to be doing a lot of teaching with Rome Odunze, you would assume. I would assume Rome Odunze maybe follows down that path of like, hey, let me talk a little bit of garbage here. Yeah, I mean, you'll probably get the rest of the offense excited about that, because the quarterback as the leader is saying, hey, these things are okay. It's okay to talk as long as we keep it all respectful. Yeah, I mean, and last year, the offense kind of tried to manufacture some of that, but the personality of Justin Fields was never to be a trash talk guy or a, yeah, I mean, like, I'm going to talk my garbage on the field. He was like, yeah, I'm going to go through the motions. I'm going to get my job done. I'm going to get the heck up out of here. I think now having a new energy in the building as far as your quarterback, your wide receivers, you got Gerald Everett in the building, you got DeAndre. So if you got a bunch of guys who are willing to sit here and have some fun conversations back and forth, especially with their defense, I think that just elevates the camaraderie that you get together. The competition builds up. Now you're not talking about, yo, we're just trying to get through practice. Now you're talking about, no, we're trying to win practice. We're trying to beat the other side. Now that fires the defense up even more. You keep elevating. You guys know what I mean by this. I think that this year the wide receiver DB battles are going to be something to watch very, very closely, because I think there's going to be a lot of smoke coming from that. Nothing in a bad way. Nothing where people are upset. Nothing where people are going crazy, right? But I do believe that there's going to be a fierce competition in those rooms this year. And of course, right, a competition inside of the offenses and defenses themselves. You got to think about this. You've got DJ Moore in a building with Keenan Allen, both of these guys, 1,300 yard or 1,200 yard plus receivers, right? You're adding Rome Odunze into this. He's a very competitive guy. Who's going to be the best receiver? Who's going to be the guy that gets the ball most from Caleb? There's going to be some competition within there. Who's going to be the DB with the most interceptions? If you got Brisker in the back, if you've got Tyreek Stevenson, you've got Kevin Byard, you've got Jalen Johnson, you've got got Kyler Gordon, right? Who's going to be the guy that's going to make the most impact in practice? Again, raising that bar, but creating a competition within themselves. I think that that is going to be something that makes this defense thrive, that makes this offense thrive in both ways, because we heard about that from J-Mac, right? When you talk about those, and from Lance, when you talk about those old school, or those 05, 06 Chicago Bears, right? When you talk about, you know, going to the Super Bowl, when you talk about getting yourself better, it was about the offense winning the day or the defense winning the day. It was, you know what I mean? Like, those were things where they had their battles in practice, and when they got out on the field, they were fully prepared. I think you need to have a much more aggressive training camp this year anyway, and my hope is that we get that out of this wide receiver and DB battle. We'll see kind of what this ends up being, but I'm very excited for what the Bears have coming as well. And I guess this will be our first chance to get to see that new kickoff rule. Yeah, it's something else kind of to watch for, see kind of how it works at the NFL level. We've seen it at the UFL level, or the XFL, which it was last season, where they had the kickoff rule. And it was exciting. It was like when we had Clay on the other day. I want to know kind of how this is going to be schemed up and how this is going to work. So let me know what you guys are watching closest at OTAs, man, in the comments below. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. Let's talk about some Bears on the bubble. Let's talk about some Bears that may end up being on the bubble. Let me take a drink here. Shout out to Arizona Tea. It'd be very awesome if they wanted the sponsor. You know what I'm saying? Getting an Arizona Tea sponsor would absolutely be the most me thing that could happen. I've got my list of five Bears on the bubble. And there's some of these, at least one of these guys, I guarantee, there's going to be wars in the comments about. And mostly just wars directed at me. My five Bears on the bubble right now, the guys that are at risk, they have to show out or they may end up getting cut. And one of these maybe is shaky with Richard Hightower and his comments. But Velus Jones, I think everybody knows. We need to see something. And that's why I said I'm going to be watching this kickoff rule as well. Because to me, Velus, you got to see something this year. You have no choice. You have to show me something in the kickoff that I can't get somewhere else this season. Because you're not going to be a big guy cracking this wide receiver room. You're not Deebo Samuel. I know that that may have been the dream, that may have been the hope, that may have been what Ryan Poles wanted to be able to get out of you, 6 feet tall, but he's not Deebo Samuel. So from Velus, and I'm talking to Velus right here, show me why you're amazing on kickoff. You're finally going to get the opportunity. It's a different NFL today, and show us through OTAs, through training camp, all of that, why you are supposed to be on this team. Because literally the only person not questioning why you're here is Richard Hightower. And I guess, right, he's the most important one. He's got the final say. You didn't lose us any games last year, so that's good. That's a step in the right direction. But at what point do we cut off this experiment? Speaking of experiments, Dominique Robinson, number two, what are we doing? He's gotta be a bubble guy to me. In fact, I would argue with you right now, with as thin as the Bears are at the defensive end position, Dominique Robinson is trying to get back on the bubble. I think that you're heading into OTAs, you're heading into training camp, you're heading into this offseason workout program, and Dominique Robinson is not even a bubble guy. Dominique Robinson right now, at least in my mind, I don't know if this is what the Bears are thinking or the coaches are thinking, but in my mind, you're coming in and I'm saying, show me anything to keep you here. Because you're so far behind. We haven't seen any. I forgot Dominique Robinson was on the team last season. I think in like week four or five, like somebody called up when we were doing the post game show over on ESPN 1000. And they were like, hey, do you guys think Dominique Robinson is ever going to get any run? I forgot he was on the team. So I don't even know if Dominique Robinson's on the bubble as much as right now he's on the outside looking in. You better get back on the bubble to try and get back inside the bubble. Number three and four for me are quick names because I think that there is a, yes, you want that offensive line depth, but like there, I think they'll be moved to practice squad guys if you want to keep them, which I wouldn't be mad at. I think the Bears are fine with that. But to me, Larry Borm and Jahtir Carter, you know what I mean? It's one of those situations where, yes, I would love to have that offensive line depth. I would love to have the versatility from those guys. But when they got in, it was not the prettiest experiment. They're fine for spot situations, right? We lose a guy, we need somebody in the second half. But I think that right now your focus needs to be on developing the young guys. The young man that you drafted this season, Karan Amageji, I think that that's a major focus for you. He needs to be the first one in off of the bench if you are keeping the same starting five minus the center that you had last season, right? If your offensive line right now, which I believe it is to me, is Ryan Bates, Tevin Jenkins, Braxton Jones, Darnell Wright, Nate Davis, I would say Karan Amageji needs to be the first guy in. Let's start that development process right now. As long as he's healthy enough to go and different stuff like that. And we know he's going to miss pretty much all of the springtime stuff, every spring workout, all of that just about. And the Bears are aware of that. And they're, you know, still working him back in. Although I believe a little confusing on that one, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he has been medically cleared. But Flew says he's going to miss the entire spring workouts and all of that, just being cautionary. And you've got more room to be cautionary. I think Larry Borum and Jahtir Carter are guys that maybe make the cut pretty much all the way to the last day because you want that offensive line depth. But I think that they're going to be guys that are going to be looking for jobs elsewhere this season, or they're going to be practice squad guys, which I would not mind having either of them be practice squad guys at this point, because you're always looking for somebody that you can bring up off of the squad that already knows the system, already knows what he's running, already knows what he can get into, already has a relationship built up with some of the guys that are in here. So you would like to keep those guys kind of close, but I don't see them as guys that make the final 53. And my number five is going to be the one that everybody's going to talk crazy about. And I already know it, and it's fine. And it's going to be Pat. We know you hate running backs. Why do you hate running backs so much? Why don't you want running backs to be successful? I think you need running backs. I just think you need to use running backs the right way. And how we used our running backs last season was not the right way. We talked with J-Mac about that, talked with the Bears, Adrian Peterson, last year about that as well. It's impossible for you to get a feel for what the defense is doing on 6 to 8 carries a game. Impossible. You're talking about guys that you're trying to rely on at the end of the game. It's impossible for a running back to get a feel for how the defense is utilizing him. And because of that, if they cannot trade him, I think that Khalil Herbert could be a guy that's on the bubble. Oh, here comes the war. Oh, Pat, oh, you're an idiot. Here we go. Hear me out. Here's my reasoning why. And then you can tell me I'm an idiot. You've already invested capital into Roschon Johnson. Roschon Johnson last year, while not maybe the fastest guy on the team, was the guy that you felt more comfortable putting out there in three down situations, was the guy that you felt more comfortable putting out there, especially to help protect your quarterback in shotgun situations. Oh, by the way, our quarterback, Caleb Williams, spent a good chunk of his college career in shotgun, so that extra protection would be something that is needed. You just paid DeAndre Swift $7 million per. He's not going anywhere. He's getting the ball. He's going to be your lead back. Roschon, to me, is a guy you've invested capital in. He's your backup. There's no money pretty much tied into either moving on from Khalil Herbert or cutting Khalil Herbert. And I don't think that a three-back system works for this team. I want to see these running backs. If you're on the team, get utilized. Be the best version of you that you can be. I don't think that you can do that by giving, yes, you ran the football 24 times in a game, but you went 8-7-7. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a recipe for success. And we saw that last season. Go back and look at those games where Luke Getsy was forced to use two running backs. just about every time, I think there was like one game where Khalil Herbert was kind of getting his feet wet again and had to figure it out. But just about every time between DeAndre Foreman, Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert, when it was like, you're the lead back, you're getting the ball. Heck, Darrington Evans one game. Darrington Evans, you're our guy. You're all we got. You're getting the ball. They performed. They got a feel for the defense. They figured out what they needed to do. And all of a sudden, we see Deontay Foreman in the end zone two times in a game. He's running people over. He's moving the chain. Khalil Herbert, same thing. When he got the opportunity to just have the ball in his hands and just focus on being a running back, guess what? He was able to go out there and perform. He was able to put good tape on film. That's what I'm looking for from my running back position. A guy or two who, if you're splitting carries between two and you're giving a guy, you know, 22 carries, all right, 11-11, 12-12 for 24, whatever it is. If you're doing that, bet. 50-50 seems a little crazy to me, but all right, cool. You got a two-back system. But I'm done seeing the, you see what happens when you do that and you just ignore it because you go, well, we got 3 mouths to feed in that backfield. No. And so to me, I think that Khalil Herbert could be a guy that if you can't trade him for something, he could be on the bubble because what are you going to utilize him for? Now, the only thing that I think could save him from being on the bubble would be if Velus Jones is removed from this team, could we see Khalil Herbert take over some special teams duties? Could we see him taking kick return? What is another role for him outside of just being the lead back on this team? But y'all know how I feel, man. Like it's yes, we have 3 running backs back there, but like what is, if I have 3 guys and I'm using them all at 33% of their ability, that doesn't help me. And I don't believe that the plan is to just relegate Roschon to doing nothing. That's just me personally. Let me know how you guys feel in the comments below. I think that that is a, I'm not sitting here saying that that's a guarantee, but that's my guy to watch for. And not to say Khalil Herbert's going to underperform either. This is more of a money matter.
It's a money matter. You paid a running back $7 million.
When you start paying running back $7 million per, I'm looking around and I'm going, all right, well, we're not saving a ton of money, but like I'm going to use this guy the most out of anybody in the backfield. What the heck are the other guys back there for? I need one guy as rest. And maybe you keep Khalil Herbert on the team as a kick return, punt return. But like I would think you want to start seeing more out of Roschon. You see more of a 3-down ability with Roschon. DeAndre Swift has a little bit of that 3-down ability as well. So you got 2 3-down backs. Bet. Let's go to war with that. Khalil Herbert, your outside speed guy. We know what he is. When he's in the game, he's not pass catching. He's not blocking. We know he's not blocking. So that means that he's in the game to be a guy who's going to get the ball and get to the outside edge. I got that guy twice. So let me know how you guys feel in the comments below. I'm sure it'll be vitriol and hate, but it is what it is, man. It's how I feel. Let's finish it off here, man, because we do hear one thing that I think is very interesting. We get this news I believe this was Thursday. Caleb Williams texting and meeting with Tom Brady and Jay-Z. Learning from these guys, learning the ways, learning the game, learning the businesses, learning how to save the money, all of that stuff. They put all this stuff in the rookie program, learning how to kind of navigate, you know, the life that he's coming into. Even though Caleb Williams was a guy who was already making money, was already, you know, had businesses going, is basically a business himself, is an entity himself. And this is what makes this interesting to me. Because we hear that Caleb Williams, and I believe David Kaplan said this morning,
if I'm not mistaken, I may be mixing it up here, but that basically Caleb and Tom were texting after, and he's learning from him, and he says, you know, what do I need to focus on? And we hear focus on ball. You go out there and you focus on ball. You focus on, you know, what you need to do on the field, how, and everything else will come to you. And I just love hearing that advice coming from a guy who had no choice but to focus on ball. And there's a difference in Tom becoming TB12 and the Tom Brady that came into the league. And we heard from Clay Harbor last week, Tom Brady was a guy who he's sitting down. I think he said 11 or 10 or 11 years into his career, and he's taking notes like a rookie. He's been in the system forever. He knows the system like the back of his hand, hasn't figured out. He's taking notes like a rookie. He's sitting there going through the process of everything being ball and everything else is added to him. I think that is such great advice for Caleb Williams to take in coming into this season. Because to me, if he focuses on being the best quarterback that the Chicago Bears have ever had, which I have no concerns that he will, Caleb Williams will never have to worry about anything in this town again. Caleb Williams will have a tough time spending money in this town. That's how much the city of Chicago is waiting for that guy. That's how much the city of Chicago is looking for that guy, that number one quarterback. If he just goes in there, keeps his head down, comes out of this first season, and I've said it doesn't have to be the greatest season a rookie has ever had, but the greatest season that a Chicago Bears quarterback rookie has ever had, of a 4,000-plus yard passer, 24 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, something like that. 24 and 8, not crazy. Those are the, right? Like, yeah, Derek Carr numbers. But it's a start that we've never seen. There will be an overwhelming love for Caleb Williams in this town. There will be no divide. There will be nobody sitting here wondering, oh, did we make the right decision? There will be nobody sitting here questioning Ryan Poles anymore. There will be none of that. We will be sitting here singing the praises of Poles, Williams, and Flus. Which sounds like a very interesting law firm, by the way. Poles, Williams, and Flus, they gotta be getting you out of cases. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know, man. Like, the hearing that he's already learning from these guys. And listen, there's a lot of people that get to talk to, some of the greats that have been around the NFL as far as rookies and stuff like that coming in. They usually have guys come in and talk to them, but when you get to hear it from Tom Brady, when you get to hear it from the guy who had to be the guy that overcame everything, I love that, especially for the city of Chicago, because you know how we are with quarterbacks. You know Caleb is going to have a down game and people are going to be sitting here and overreacting and trying to kill everything and scrutinize, and they're going to be talking about the All-22 and all of this stuff is going to be coming from that. And you got to be able to navigate that. You know how you overcome that? Focus on ball. Get better the next week. Go out there and win. Have next week's success. And if you're able to have next week's success, everybody forgets about the week before. How many times have we done that? How many times have we seen that, right? We know that especially when you're listening to the radio, the people that call into the radio are the, you know, I'm right today people. You know what I mean? Like today, right now, when I can have this conversation to say I feel I'm right today. Well, you weren't right last week. I didn't call last week. I called today. I'm right today. Conversation will flip back and forth all season long. But if you focus on the ball, if you focus on being able to go out there and be successful, like we heard that Tom Brady was talking about, if you focus on just being the best version of a Chicago Bear that you can be, I think that this fan base is looking for someone to love. And that's why you saw so much division in this city, because we're dying for somebody to love. We're dying for somebody to finally be the answer to the age-old question in Chicago. Are you the quarterback? So, love hearing that. Jay-Z was interested. I don't get the Jay-Z portion. I guess financially, maybe. Is Jay coming in financially? Maybe he's talking about, like, hey, you know, watch which rappers you hang out with. Yeah, I mean, maybe there was some of that. You know what I mean? If there's a party at a mansion that seems to have Diddy associated with, maybe don't go. Hey, appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. Leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. We'll be back tomorrow. Courtney Cronin in the building. Me and her breaking down OTAs. Some of the talk that's going to be around this team. Can't wait to talk with her. And we hope to see you guys back here as well. As always, it's your boy, Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear Don, one love. Bear Claw. Peace.